listening to the sermon podcast of Brockport First Baptist. We are a progressive American Baptist congregation located about 20 minutes outside of Rochester, New York. To learn more about our church and support our ministries, please visit brockportfirstbaptist.org.
Our scripture this morning is from Acts 6 through 8 selected verses. Stephen, full of grace and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and others of those from Cilicia and Asia, stood up and argued with Stephen. But they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he spoke. Then they secretly instigated some men to say, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." They stirred up the people as well as the elders and the scribes. Then they suddenly confronted him, seized him, and brought him before the council. They set up false witnesses who said, "This man never stopped saying things against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses handed on to us." And all who sat in the council looked intently at him, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Then the high priest asked them, "Are these things so?" And Stephen replied, "You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you are forever opposing the Holy Spirit, just as your ancestors used to do. Which of the prophets did your ancestors not persecute? They killed those who foretold the coming of the righteous one, and now you have become his betrayers and murderers. You are the ones who have received the law as ordained by angels, and yet you have not kept it." Something's missing from here, so now you've become his betrayers and murderers. You are the ones who have received the law as ordained by angels, and yet you have not kept it. When they heard these things, they became enraged and ground their teeth at Stephen. But filled with the Holy Spirit, he gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they covered their ears, and with a loud shout all rushed together against him. Then they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him, and the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. When they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he died. And Saul approved of their killing him. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. And thank you, Luann, for that reading. So this one's a bit of a downer, you guys. Especially on a day like today. Like, how ominous after baptisms to read this story. Seriously though, what an awesome day, am I right? It's cold outside, but it is warm in here. It's Palm Sunday. We sang the palms. I know some of you are very excited about that. We had two baptisms. I love baptisms. Any chance to splash around in the water is just fun. We've got a bunch of folks joining the church later in our service. Then there's going to be cake. It is a good day. And yet, the book of Acts has brought us to this incredibly dark story. It's actually appropriate given where we are in the church calendar. Good Friday is just a few days away. This Thursday at 6, we're going to be gathering here at church for a dinner and foot washing service, remembering Jesus' final meal with his disciples. We call this day Palm Sunday, and that's appropriate because this is when we remember Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. He rode in on a donkey, which must have been hilarious. All the people rushed out to hail him as king. They were putting their coats on the ground like a red carpet, waving palm branches in the air like flags. They were screaming, "Hosanna," which means save us. In just a few days, that very same crowd is going to be screaming, "Crucify him." In some traditions, Palm Sunday actually has another name, a second name. It's also known as Passion Sunday, because this is the day when we remember not only the palms, but the entire Passion story, the final week of Jesus' life, and that road that ends at the cross. As a Passion Sunday reading, this passage, the stoning of Stephen, is actually very appropriate. We met Stephen last week. He's one of seven leaders in the early church who was chosen to oversee the distribution of food to widows. Our text last Sunday described Stephen as a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. We're told in today's reading that he was full of grace and power, doing great wonders and signs among the people. Stephen is also remembered as the first Christian martyr. He was the first person to be killed for his faith in Jesus. Most scholars think Stephen was young, unmarried, probably a teenager. He's a young man with a good heart and a ton of potential who is murdered for following Christ. Some people from some of the nearby synagogues get together to debate with Stephen, but he's too smart for them. Stephen would have been president of the debate club if there was such a thing back then. He makes really good arguments. And once they realize they can't beat him, his opponents get some other people together to lie and falsely accuse Stephen of blasphemy. That riles up the local religious leaders who put Stephen on trial. And it's a sham of a trial. The high priest asks Stephen if these accusations against him are true. And Stephen's response to the high priest, remember, this is a teenager, he basically breaks into a sermon right then and there. In fact, we skipped most of Stephen's speech because it is just so long, but I would highly recommend reading it on your own sometime later today or this week, because it's awesome. Stephen basically summarizes the entire Bible. If you're looking for a sort of concise summary of the Old Testament and how it points to Jesus, read Stephen's speech sometime this week. Probably the most important part comes at the end, the part we jump back into, when Stephen turns the tables on his accusers and points out their hypocrisy. This is from Acts chapter 7, beginning in verse 51. "You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you are forever opposing the Holy Spirit, just as your ancestors used to do. Which of the prophets did your ancestors not persecute? They killed those who foretold the coming of the righteous one, and now you have become his betrayers and murderers. You are the ones who received the law as ordained by angels, and yet you have not kept it." I love teenagers, you guys. I love this. There is no BS, no beating around the bush, no sugarcoating. Stephen tells it exactly like it is. And they kill him for it. They drag this kid out of the city, and they throw stones at him until he dies. Why does this stuff happen? This is such a tragic story. It's horrible. It is violent and awful. And probably the worst part is how real and relatable it feels. Why does a disagreement over religion, basically a theology debate, devolve into murder? Why do so many young, promising, innocent people like Stephen and Jesus and generations who followed after, why do they end up losing their lives over nothing? The stoning of Stephen doesn't come out of nowhere. If you've been reading the book of Acts with us and kind of paying attention, you see this coming. Over the last few weeks, we have seen an escalation of sorts. A permission structure has been built that led to this man's death. First, the apostles were brought before the council and questioned. The leaders put pressure on them to get them to stop talking about Jesus, stop preaching in Jesus' name. Then, when that didn't work, they were arrested. When that didn't work, they were imprisoned. Then an angel sprung them from prison, so they were beaten. It's a systematic escalation of violence in an attempt to silence and dehumanize these first Christians, which has now escalated to murder. This is what happens when we dehumanize people. This is where it goes, inevitably. This is what happens when we call people we don't like or that we disagree with vermin or rodents. When we criminalize our opposition and challenge someone's loyalty simply because they hold a different view from us. When we say that certain groups of people aren't really people, this is where it leads. When instead of seeking truth, staying informed so that we can actively participate in our society and its institutions, when we instead turn to talking heads on YouTube, social media, cable news that tell us everything we want to hear, affirming all of our biases, stoking our fears, feeding our anxieties, telling us that people who look different and think different from us are somehow dangerous, that is how people like Stephen end up dead. That's how Jesus ended up there. And any one of us in this room could have been part of that mob. I could have been part of that mob. You could have been part of that mob. And if you don't see that, you're missing the story. The answer to this, the antidote, if we want to inoculate ourselves against this way of thinking, this way of being, and protect our hearts, we need discipleship. We have to follow and be formed by Jesus. If you're not being formed by Jesus, you're being formed by something else. Stephen was a follower of Jesus. He was committed to the way of Christ. And the storyteller has gone to great lengths to illustrate for us all the little similarities between Jesus' death and Jesus' death. If you're familiar with the Passion story, the story of Jesus' road to the cross, the stoning of Stephen should give you deja vu. I actually put together a chart up here on the slides outlining just a few of the parallels between Stephen and Jesus. Both men are falsely accused. People are riled up to hurl accusations of blasphemy against them. The religious establishment essentially fails them. In their moment of seeming defeat, Stephen and Jesus both offer visions of victory. In Luke 22, Jesus says, "The Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the Father." And then in Acts 7, Stephen says, "I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." The Son of Man is Jesus, by the way, if you weren't sure about that. In their final moments, Stephen and Jesus both expressed trust, asking God to receive their spirits. "Into your hands, Father, I commend my spirit. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." With their dying breath, they both offer forgiveness to the very people who are killing them. Don't hold this sin against them. They don't know what they do. And then this was a detail I missed before this week. In both instances, we're told about a man, a soldier of sorts, overseeing the execution. The centurion at the cross exclaims, "Surely this man was innocent." And then at the stoning of Stephen, we meet a young man named Saul, soon to be known as Paul, who holds everybody's coats as they come to the stoning and watches over the violence approvingly. If I'm ever stoned to death, I hope there's a coat guy. You know? Like, it just feels classy. Plus, it's probably hard to get a good, swing with a big baggy coat on. I joke, but that's how I handle these awful stories. This is an awful story. The stoning of Stephen is brutal and jarring, and it is a story that reminds us that following Jesus means imitating Jesus. The path of discipleship is a path of imitating Christ, living your life the way Jesus would live it. How would Jesus live your life if he was you? That's the question that should be guiding our discipleship. How would Jesus live your life if he was you? Often when we talk about following Jesus, it gets so abstract. I mean, let's be real for a second. Jesus was a homeless itinerant rabbi who lived 2,000 years ago. And he was God. That's pretty hard to relate to, right? Like we cannot measure up to that. But let's bring it down to earth and make it tangible. How would Jesus live your life if he was you? How would Jesus behave as a spouse or a partner? What kind of friend would Jesus be? How would Jesus parent? What kind of child would he be? How would Jesus do your job? How would Jesus utilize your time, your resources, your energy? How would Jesus live if he lived in your neighborhood? What would he be doing? Who would he be talking to? Who would he be hanging out with? How would he vote? How would Jesus engage with the big, pressing issues, debates, and questions of our time? How would Jesus treat your enemies? These are the questions that should guide our discipleship. For the folks who are baptized today, for Lily and Tom, you guys are embarking on a lifelong journey of following Jesus, trying to live like Jesus, represent Jesus to the world. And the path of discipleship is not going to be easy. You are going to be tempted to stray. You're going to stray and mess up. You might find yourself at some point standing in a crowd shouting, "Crucify him," or ready to throw a stone, or hold someone's coat so that they can throw a stone. There is grace for those moments. God has grace for us and forgives us when we fall off the path, and thank God for that. But when we say Jesus is Lord, we are committing to a path of discipleship. For everyone joining our church today, and for all the baptized folks in this room, being a disciple in fellowship with other disciples is hard. This is a church where we try to imitate Jesus, at times badly, if we're honest. There is going to be conflict. There will be harsh words. You are going to get your feelings hurt at some point, and you're probably going to hurt someone else's feelings. But can we commit today in this community to stick with it, to push forward even when it gets hard and tricky and when we don't want to? At least no one's getting stoned to death, right? At least they better not. If stones start flying, I quit. I'm out of here. I can't do blood. Ugh, yeah. But our first call as followers of Jesus and as part of this community is to serve Jesus. And a second call that is right after that one is to serve each other, to love one another. We do this, we make this all work by being servants, first of God, then of each other. Stephen was a deacon of the church. Deacon is just the Greek word for servant, you guys. That's all that means. Stephen was a servant of God who served Jesus by serving other people. Dedicate yourselves to service. Dedicate yourself to being the kind of person in this community who lifts other people up and puts others before yourself. Dedicate yourself to the work of justice, compassion, holiness, inclusion, hospitality, discipleship. Allow yourself to be formed by Christ, and God is going to do amazing things in this church, just as God did amazing things through Stephen. Let's pray. God, we honor the memory of Stephen and so many promising young people whose lives were taken from them by violence. We recognize that that same violence lives in our hearts, that we are just as likely to be part of that angry mob. And so, God, we repent. We repent of the way we dehumanize other people. We repent of the ways we've brought into the violent lies and rhetoric of our culture. And we repent of the ways we've allowed ourselves to be formed by forces other than you. Help us to be true disciples of Jesus, to serve him by serving each other in this place and beyond these walls. We ask for all this in his name. Amen.